speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
Again today, I want to thank you for joining us for the Way of Truth broadcast. Yesterday, we dealt with some issues regarding the abolishing of the Old Testament law, including the Ten Commandments. And today, we wish to consider the subject, the Sabbath and the Lord's Day. Now, in the course of the divinely ordained change from the old order to the new order, the change from Judaism to Christianity, a great many alterations were made with regard to worship, which was required of the Lord's people. For example, the altars of the animal sacrifice, the temple in Jerusalem, the Aaronic priesthood, all gave way to a more spiritual type of worship. Animal sacrifices have been made unnecessary by the once-for-all sacrifice of Jesus Christ for our sins. In Hebrews 10, verse 4, it is impossible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins. Verse 12, but He, Christ, when He had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Worship in Jerusalem is no more acceptable than worship offered by people under a lean-to in the darkest part of Africa. Under the new order, it is the condition of the worshiper's heart rather than the place of worship that's important. Jesus said in John 4, verse 23, the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for such the Father seeketh to worship Him. So the Aaronic priesthood has given way to the universal priesthood of believers. Or to say it another way, the Christian does not need a professional priest or clergyman to say his prayers or to offer his gifts to the Lord. Each child of God now has personal access to the Father through Jesus Christ and needs no human intermediary. Now, the notion that Christianity is merely a patched-up version of Judaism is as false can be. The Christian religion is an altogether new religion. It makes new demands of those who would be acceptable unto God. It offers a new, more spiritual life pattern to those who are God's children. It holds out new promises to the faithful. So thoroughly new is Christianity that even a new day of worship was established. Sabbath worship was replaced by worship on the Lord's Day, Sunday. But since there are still numerous people who contend that the Sabbath is still valid and binding on God's people, the statement we just made needs some Bible proof. So in our time remaining this afternoon, we want to study this important matter. The first time the Sabbath is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 2, verse 1 down through verse 3. That passage reads, and the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God finished His work which He had made. And He rested on the seventh day from all His work which He had made. And God blessed the seventh day and hallowed it, because that in it He rested from all the works which God had created and made. Now, the seventh day, or Sabbath, was God's original day of rest. But, friend, there is no indication that during the patriarchal age, any of the patriarchs were commanded to observe the Sabbath as a religious practice. Neither can one find any example of men being punished for violation of the Sabbath during that first period of Bible history. The only logical conclusion to be drawn is that during the patriarchal age of Bible history, that period from Adam to Moses, the Sabbath was not sacred to man. In fact, the very next mention of the Sabbath in the Bible occurs more than 2,500 years after the creation. Moses spoke to the rulers of Israel at the beginning of their 40-year wandering in the wilderness. And he said, Exodus 16, verse 23, This is that which Jehovah has spoken. Tomorrow is a solemn rest, a holy Sabbath unto Jehovah. Bake that which ye will bake, and boil that which ye will boil, and all the remaineth overlay, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Verse 30. So the people rested on the Sabbath. It was soon after this that there was an incident that gave Israel the Ten Commandments. The fourth of those commandments imposed Sabbath observance upon the people. That is, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath unto Jehovah thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Jehovah made heaven and earth and the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore Jehovah blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. It was only at this point in history that men became obligated to observe the Sabbath as a religious ordinance. The Sabbath immediately became a most prominent feature of the Jewish religion. All work was forbidden on that sacred day. The Bible even records an instance of a man being stoned to death for violating the Sabbath law by gathering sticks. Numbers 15, 32 through 36. There were very few exceptions to this rule of absolute rest on the Sabbath. Notably, if such work were done in order to save the life of a man or an animal. It should also be pointed out that the Sabbath was peculiar to the Jewish religion. It was never bound on any other group of people. In the very words of God Himself, Exodus 31:16, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations, for a perpetual covenant. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. Nowhere in the Bible is there a command or an example of Sabbath observance by a non-Jew. The Sabbath was restricted to the Jewish religion. That's evident from one of the primary purposes of its establishment. In Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, and thou shalt remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt, and Jehovah thy God brought thee out thence by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore Jehovah thy God commanded thee to keep the Sabbath day. Since the Sabbath was to be observed in commemoration of Jewish deliverance from Egypt's bondage, it would necessarily be meaningless to anyone except a Jew. Christ observed the Sabbath during His earthly ministry because He was a Jew. He was obligated to obey all the commandments that had been given through Moses. But the fact that Jesus worshipped on Saturday does not mean that we are to worship on that day. For following the death of Christ and the establishment of the church, the Sabbath was no longer bound on anyone, whether Jew or Gentile. By His death on the cross, Christ blotted out the bond written in ordinances that was against us, has taken it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And Paul writes, let no man therefore judge you in meat or drink or in respect of a feast day or Sabbath day, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is Christ. Colossians 2, verse 14, down through verse 17. Now friends, this quotation from Paul is in complete harmony with the announcement made by Jesus for the purpose of having come to this earth. He said in Matthew 5, 17, it came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law. Law of Moses, with its Sabbath requirement, was fulfilled and thus is gone. Again, in the book of Amos, the question is asked, when will the new moon be gone, that we may sell grain, and the Sabbath, that we may set forth wheat? The answer came back as follows. Amos 8, verse 5, It shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord Jehovah, that I will cause the sun to go down at noon. I will darken the earth in the clear day. Amos 8, verse 9. This should surely be an unmistakable sign that would mark the end of the obligation of observing the Sabbath day. Has such a sign been given? Has the sun ever gone down at noontime? Has the earth ever been darkened in the clear of day? Yes, it has. The sign has been given. It was given at the time of the crucifixion of Christ, and the Sabbath has been abrogated. The sun went down at noon, and the earth was darkened on that day when Christ was put to death at Golgotha. Mark writes in Mark 15, verse 33, And when the sixth hour, noon on the Jewish clock, and when the sixth hour was come, there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour. The prophecy was clear. Its fulfillment is unmistakable. The Sabbath was abrogated when Jesus died on the cross. The significant day of worship for Christians is the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. The Roman historian Pliny wrote to the Emperor Trajan concerning Christians of the early 2nd century, and he made this statement, They meet on a fixed day while it is yet dark, and partake of a simple meal of a most ordinary and harmless kind, and sing a hymn to Christ as God, and bind themselves with an oath not to commit fornication or theft or any violent crime. And then his quote continues. Well, from the New Testament, we know that the fixed day on which the early Christians met for public worship was Sunday, the first day of the week. The Scriptures record the example of the church meeting on this day. Acts 20, verse 7, Upon the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul preached unto them until midnight, intending to depart on the morrow. It was also on the first day of the week that the early Christians met in assembly for the purpose of taking up a collection. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 6, Upon the first day of the week, let each one of you lay by him in store as he may prosper, that no collections be made when I come. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1 and 2. Well, why the change from Saturday to Sunday? In the first place, Sunday is of special significance to Christians because Jesus rose from the dead that day, Mark 16:9. Second, all of Christ's post-resurrection appearances occurred on Sunday. To say the least, all of his appearances in which a day was specified in the record occurred on Sunday. And then third, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the establishment of the kingdom on earth, occurred on Sunday. And fourth, we have the example of the early church conducting its meetings on the first day of the week. And for these compelling reasons, we conclude that the divinely appointed day for worship in the kingdom of God is the first day of the week. Some misinformed people have attempted to regulate Christians' conduct on the Lord's Day with those same Old Testament regulations pertaining to the Sabbath. And they would contend that Christians not do any work or any physical activity, but that's trying to bring over into the New Testament some Old Testament ordinances. So it's on the first day of the week that Christians meet together to worship God, to praise His name, to do His will. Until tomorrow, a very pleasant good afternoon.